This recording, Ontario 35, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onoroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she gently stroked the goose lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administrated ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Well, once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her down on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." My dad woke us up early in the morning at like 6 a.m. and we started out and we drove for like hours every day and it became such a routine going from place to place. We'd stop in each province every day, like, and sort of embrace, like, not embrace, but do, like, a touristy thing in each province. Like, we went through every capital except Edmonton. We went to Calgary, though. We got a flat tire in Calgary, I remember that. And every morning we listened to Thick as a Brick by Jethro Tull, front to back, and what other. And my brother and I were really young, so we watched a movie a day. When my dad, this is before like portable DVD players and laptops and stuff, my dad took this big chunky TV and duct taped it to the armrests of the captain seats in the front seat, and it was like pretty big, like cool technology then, and it had the VCR attached to the TV, so we had like a big box of VHS tapes and we were allowed to watch like either it was a half a movie or a whole movie a day. And then the rest of it, we just, like, looked at the scenery and stuff, you know. I'd like to do it again because I didn't care for the scenery then. But we stayed for a week in Whistler. We met my dad's friend, who's my godfather, and he has two daughters and his wife, and then my mom and my sister. My sister was really young at the time, like one or two. So they took a plane and met us in Whistler and stayed there for a week and then took a plane back, and we took a week back, driving back, so...